Achol Shabahoid. All of the iris of Lag Ba'omer continue till Shavuos. So we look in the Svarim, Bnei Soska, Pri Tzadik. All of the iris of Lag Ba'omer is a hemshech to Kabbalah Satayr. The Torah's Megala this week, the Inyan of the Golem, the Inyan of the Flax, which is very foreign to us, the whole concept, flags. We know what a flag is, but we don't know why it has so much meaning in the Torah. Akdekach, that we say, Nirananu b'yishuasecha, v'shem elokein nidgal. Yimali Hashem kol mishalasecha. Nirananu b'yishuasecha, that we rejoice in Hashem, in our salvation. V'shem elokein nidgal. Nidgal is lashon of the golem. Chazal say, that when it came time for Kabbalah Satayra, that Bnei Yisrael saw the Malachim, Gedudim, the angels were all gathered. They saw the angels descending, and they had the formation of flags. They had flags. The Malachim had flags. And this Avi Yisrael, that we had a taiva also to have such a thing, that we should have flags. Niranu b'shuasecha b'shem elokeinu nidgal. And according to Chazal, when it says in Pesach, Yimali Hashem kol mishalasecha, that Hashem gave us our heart's desire, that all we wanted, all we were begging for, was flags. Niranu b'shuasecha b'shem elokeinu nidgal. Yimali Hashem kol mishalasecha. That if a Jew has that, he has everything. Ishal machaneyu, ishal diglay. Ishal machaneyu, ishal diglay. Each person belongs to a camp, to a place. Ishal machaneyu, ishal diglay. And each one has a flag that he's connected to. Each one has a flag, ishal diglay. Niranu b'shuasecha v'shem elokeinu nidgal. The parasha of the Degolim of Su'u, as Rosh Kvnei Yisrael, the parasha of the Degolim of the Machnes, of Kimcholas HaMachanayim, Shuvi Shuvi Ashulamis, is a hemshech of what took place at the end of last parasha, which is very, very strange. At the end of last parasha, it's a long section, almost the last three aliyas plus of the parasha at the end of the Yikra. Ish ki yafli neder ve'erkecha nefashos l'Hashem, that a human being is evaluated, that a price is put on his head, that he's worth this and this amount of money. The Rambam in the first parak of Hilchos Arachim v'Charamim, ha'omer erki alai, if a person says that my value, I'm a chayv myself to give my value to the Beis HaMikdash, Erech Yalai, Erech Ploini Alai. What does it mean to say such a thing? To say that a person has a certain value, to evaluate a person in such a way. And that moves into Sefer Bamidbar. Ishal machaneyu, ishal digloy, the degolim. So I wouldn't call it a mice, I saw a conversation brought down in a little kuntrasil somebody gave me. I saw a conversation that took place. It's a true thing, but there was somebody that wrote about this that happened, that there was a conversation between two chassidim, Aslonim HaChassid and the Lubavitcher HaChassid, were best friends for many years. And the Lubavitcher, it was his 60th birthday. And he was very, very downhearted. He was very tzibrochen, the Lubavitcher. The person on his birthday makes a cheshbon ha-nefesh. In the world, they make parties. The Jew makes a cheshbon ha-nefesh. But I've reached this point of my life, so many years have passed. Remember, I have a brother-in-law that his father, Lulashon, was a very big Talmud Chacham. He learned in the Mir in Europe. His best friends were Reb Chaskel Levenstein and Reb Zelig Epstein. Those were his best friends. And I remember that my brother-in-law had his 50th birthday, and the family all got together. And at that time, his father was still alive, Reb Motel. It's a huge Talmud Chacham. A Litvak Sheba Litvak. But with all the nobility, I mean that in a good way, with all the nobility, all the aristocracy of that world. And it was my brother's 50th birthday, and everybody was excited, you know, everybody, all the kids came, everybody came, all the cousins. And they asked Reb Motel, they asked his father to say a few words, and Reb Motel says, "A party, you're 50 years old, I don't know what the chlal did you accomplish in your life. I don't know what you're celebrating at all. I don't know. You accomplish something in your life." And that was like, you know, you could see the balloons that come down. You know what I mean? Like everything, like, and everybody like put down their little. Like all the cousins and all the little kids and everybody just, you know. And that was, he was just disgusted. He said, the party. A Jew makes a cheshbon nefesh. So this Lubavitcher made a cheshbon nefesh. And he was right to brachin. And he said to his friend, the astronomer, that they know each other all the years, he said to the astronomer, I can't bring myself to any Simchas Achaim. I can't feel any Simchas Achaim. I don't know what I've done. I'm embarrassed. And I can tell you, you're my friend. So the astronomer said to him, "What do you talk like that? You can't. Today you didn't give any nachas ruach to Rav Eichel. You can't think of anything today. Don't tell me about your whole background, your past. But today you can't think of anything you did to give nachas ruach to Hashem." So the Rav says, "No. I'm telling you, I didn't do anything. Ma ani mechay ma nothing." The Shlomo says, "But how could you say such a thing? I'm saying today, you weren't part of anything for the Rav Eichel today." So Lubavitcher stopped and he said, "Okay, there was one thing I did today. There was one thing that I did." He said that I put on tefillin on 10 Jews who had never put on tefillin before. Maybe with the bar mitzvah, but Jews who were not wearing tefillin. I put 10 pairs of tefillin, I put 10 times tefillin for these Jews. So the Solomon said, "So, in the cheshbon, are you part of the cheshbon of the 10 Jews that put on tefillin today? That you put tefillin on?" So he said, "But my tefillin, I already told you that I'm not, my life is not worth anything." So Solomon said to him, Listen to what you're saying. You're saying that the only schus that you have to be proud of today, the only nachas ruach that you gave to the Creator, was that there were 10 Jews who are eating the velus and treifas on Machal Shabbos, who you don't even know if they believe in the Rabbi Shalom, they don't believe in the Rabbi Shalom, who are probably over on a couple of the 13 Ikarim that they don't believe in. And by putting tefillin on them, you say that's the only thing that gave nachas ruach to the Rabbi Shalom. But you yourself, you got up in the morning, you went to the mikveh, you said some kibbutz tefillin, you learned the shtukl chassidus, you put on towels and tefillin. You said, "Baruch Shem Ashrei Yishtavach." And in that you don't see, you don't count yourself in that cheshbon. But you give nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't see that. Every single moida'ani, every single bracha, every single word of every mishnah, of every piece of gemara, of every Rashi Taisus. You don't see that. You don't include yourself among those 10 Jews that you put tefillin on. Kilo, your tefillin, your hanachas tefillin is not hanachas tefillin. Kili Yohan Nachas Tefillin doesn't give Nachas Ruach. Only the Nachas Tefillin that you put on Tefillin on other people, B'chlal, many of them don't even believe in Tefillin. And that's the Nachas Ruach. What about your Tefillin? So I was thinking a lot about this. I was thinking about how it's so easy to think like that Lubavitcher was thinking. And it's so easy to forget what the Slonimer was saying, what his friend was saying. Sofka Sof, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Butzini Kaddish or Shiva Sayyamim, the light of the 7 days of creation. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, when he came out from the cave after 12 years, and wherever Rabbi Shimon was looking, he was setting on fire. And Rabbi Shimon looked at the world, at the imperfect world. Rabbi Shimon looked at some guy with his tzitzis flapping in the wind, and he's Chereish b'shas Cherisha, and Zerei b'shas Zriya, v'koitzei b'shas Ktsira. He's working on the fields, an Elochid. And he's working on the fields, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai starts to burn the entire world. Tarimat Tehela. The world is so imperfect. The world is so imperfect. And he began to destroy the world. And Baskol came out, the Gemara says, the Baskol came out and said, did I allow you to come out from the cave to destroy my world? And he sent Rabbi Shimon and Elazar back to the cave. And everybody knows what happened. Another year that he spent in the cave, which was a Shabbos by the Hilula that we had with the Chevra from the Shul. Some of you were there. I spoke a lot about the inyan of how each and every one of us has to go through that time that's called the cave. If you have a chance, it's kedai to listen. The inyan of being in the cave. Maybe Shimon went back to the cave. And then he came out after the 13th year, which corresponds to the Yudgimel Midas Rachmim, after being that time in the Rechem, in the womb, that place in the cave. And he came out, and you know that Rabbi Elazar was going to destroy the world again, wherever he looked. Rabbi Shimon was healing. Rabbi Shimon was healing every place where Rabbi Elazar looked to destroy. Rabbi Shimon began to heal the world. And he saw an old man, Ahu Saba, which Tosfos says, he says Ahu Saba means Elyanovi, he was disguised. He saw an old man running with the two bunches of Hadassim. Shabbos, he said. And Rabbi Shimon says, "Hey, look, come a chaviv and mitzvahs al Yisrael. Look how precious mitzvahs are to Jews. Come a chaviv and mitzvahs al Yisrael." Everybody knows the story. After that, you also remember what happened. The Gemara goes on. Horl v'srachish nisa. The Gemara says, as Rabbi Shimon said to his son Rabbi Elazar, Hashem did a miracle for us that we got out of this. So let's go Iskin Mil, so let's go fix something. And they went to Tveria, and Rabbi Shimon was fixing the Bederach Neis. He was fixing the place so that the Kahanim could go by the Beis HaKaris. So everybody knows the Gemara. So what changed? What happened to Rabbi Shimon? There are many, many, many explanations. But they're all revolving around one nekuda. In the piyut for Lag BaOmer, the Sfaradim say every Friday night, Bar Yochai nimshach d'ashracha, Shemen sosnu mechaverecha. So we say, Bar Yochai nasa odom nemu bavarecha. It's an amazing sentence. The whole piyut is the inyan of tikkun of Yesod that we're going into now. We're crossing into the time of Yesod. The whole piyut is fixing the inyan of Yosef HaTzadik, that inyan of Yesod. Bar Yochai nemer nasa odom nemer bavarecha. That when the Baruch Shalom said to the angels, nasa odom, let us make man, he had you in mind. Nasa Odom Nema Bavarecha. It's an amazing thing. And we know, we could understand on our level, we try to understand the need of Rabbi Shimon, Nas Adam, all the secrets of Torah, or Razan Daraisa. Rabbi Shimon is the continuation of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah of Nigla, the Torah of Nistar. But Rabbi Shimon was parallel in all worlds. So we understand that it says, Nas Adam Nema Bavarecha. Rabbi Shimon was the one who said in the Gemara, the pasuk in Yecheskel, Atem Kriyim Adam. Atem Kriyim Adam. That only the Jewish people are called Adam. Not Umas Arlam. A Jew is called Adam. So what did Rabbi Shimon come out with the second time that he didn't have on his level the first time? The first time Rabbi Shimon Vayuchai came out looking for a perfect world because he had come to a place, the closest place of perfection. The place of 50, as it says in the Piyut. He came to that place, the highest place of perfection. And Rabbi Shimon was looking with the eyes of perfection at an imperfect world. And the imperfect world was melting in the presence of the one who was most perfect as a human being could be. But then after the 13th year, the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, after Rabbi Shimon came to a higher Midrega than it was the first 12 years, Rabbi Shimon saw Kama Chaviv Mitzvah Sal Yisrael, and he looked at Jews in a different way. And Rabbi Shimon realized that when it says Nasa Adam Nema Bavarecha, it doesn't only mean him and Rabbi Lazar, Dai Lo Elam Ani Va'ata, it doesn't only mean him and Rabbi Lazar. It means that me and you, every single time that we put on film, even though it's true, we put on film and we don't remember, am I doing the Shel Yad or the Shel Reish? And we don't know the difference between when we put on film yesterday or today. And we don't know all the kavanas or any of the kavanas. Kama chaviva mitzvah sayyusa. We're ending the year and I want it to be a machshava to talk about this. It's so important. Sometimes a person ends something and he feels that it has no erech. What's erech? Value. The tzaddikim asked, why is it that the parasha of Erechin, where man is evaluated, where a Jew is evaluated, why does it come right after the Teichacha? Why does it come after all the horrible curses in the parasha of B'chukaisa? So one answer is that after hearing all of those klolas, it's the nature of a Jew to see how he fits into some of those psukim, or maybe even to all of the psukim chas v'shalom. And when he finishes the klolas, after the Valkyrie finishes the klolas, a person feels like the Lubavitcher. I have no erech. I have no value. What's my life worth? I'm guilty of all of those things. I'm no better than... So why wouldn't I be part of the klolas? So a person looks at his life and he feels that when it says, Nasa Adam Nema Bavarecha, oh, Nasa Adam Bavarecha, that's talking about my Chavrusa. That's talking about the other guy. That's talking about different tzaddikim. That's talking about Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon was Magala, the 13th year. Rabbi Shimon was Magala. Nasa Adam Nema Bavurecha. 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 Bavuri. Nasa Adam Nema Bavurecha means that when a Jew hears the klolos, he begins to worry that maybe my tefillin have no erech, like the Lubavitcher who didn't even count himself with Anachas tefillin. He was counting the people who Mechal Shabbos, when they put on tefillin, it gives Hashem Nachas Ruach. Which of course it does. But what about when we put on tefillin? A regular day of putting on tefillin. There's an atiyah that a person can have to feel that there's no erech in that. There's no value to that. And to God forbid, see himself and his life in the klolos. The emes is that I've told many of the chevra this year, that I've spoken to many of you over the course of the year, and I hope to get to know more of you, Ms. Hashan. And many of us have discussed the initiatives that we're all going through this time. I don't mean this time of the year, I mean this time that we're living in. We're going through the Nisyanis, the Inin of Yesod, in particular of Yosef HaTzadik. And how many times I heard already this year, Bochum that say, Yungalite also that say, Loshen, like Rebbe, if you would know the things that I've seen, then you wouldn't be able to look at me. And similar Lashinus like that. And all I want to do is to jump up and dance with this person and say, Nasa Adam Nana Bavaracha. You're wrong. Nasa Adam Nana Bavaracha. You know, we're living through in our generation. Every single one of you learned so much Torah this year. So much Torah. So when I'm saying these words, you think, he doesn't want me. He says, no, I'm from the Klolos, I'm not from the Brachas. I didn't learn so much Torah. I missed a lot of Sedarim. And even when I was at the Seder, I wasn't learning so much like I should have. And I didn't finish. Brachas Shabbos is such a fat book, and I didn't even finish anything there. And I tell the Chevra that the Indian of the time that we're living in, that a person makes his stylist in Shemir Seinayim, you make your stylist to try to learn every day some Torah, to give Nachas Ruach to the Bari Olam. You think when you're 120, do you really, really think when you're 120 that they ask you how many siyums you made? I never saw that in any chazal. Maybe I don't have an Eitzah Chachma program. Maybe you could type in and find something where it says someplace in Yalkut Ruveni somewhere that in 120 that somebody asks you Kama Mesech the Siyamta. I know the chazal says it's where is Kavat Idim Latar? It says Kavat Idim Latar. Did you set aside time? Did you remember God? Did you set aside time to learn? It's coming to the summer. Kavat Idim Latar, that a day shouldn't go by. And you know when you open up a sefer, a Jew nowadays who opens up a sefer, especially when the whole world is running around on the beach and doing, you open up a sefer, you open up a little bit Mishnayot, you try to chaz a little bit Gemara, you try to open up to be Mav Sedra, you look in some Musar, some Chassidus, some Hashav, you open up a sefer, you learn. You have any idea of the Nasa Adam Nema Bavarecha, that all the Pamaya Shamaya, that Rabbanu Shlomo with all those Malachim come to where you're sitting, and you think you're sitting in the klolos, and the Baruch Shalom, with all of the malachim is saying, "Nasa Adam Nema Bavarecha," and you hear those words sometimes, but you look around, you see who's like, maybe there's somebody here, maybe Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is over here. There's no Rabbi Shimon, he's talking about you. Nasa Adam Nema Bavarecha. So let's go back to the beginning. Niranin Rabbi Yeshua Secha, Rabbi Shemir Lokeinu Nidgo. He said, we just want to be like flags. The malachim are like flags. We want to be like that. Yishal machaneyu, yishal digloy. Really, really what they were saying, what a Jew is asking for, is, Rabbi Shalom, I'm asking you to help me believe that I'm worth something in your eyes. Because I don't feel that I'm worth anything. In my own eyes, I don't feel that I'm worthy. A degel, a flag, means, like the Shem Shmuel says in Bamidbar, that a flag means that you remember where you came from. Like when you're in the Midbar, or there's a war, so they would have a flag, and when you're in the battlefield, you thought I'll never be able to get back to my camp, and then you look and you see there's your flag, and you know there's a way that I could always get back. There's always a way to get back. Always, always, always. And Hashem wants you back. Every single Shemoneh Esrei, we say, Baruch Hashem, Haraitza B'tshuvi. Have you heard such beautiful words? We say that every single day, three times. You ever think what it means? Haroitza b'tshuva. It means that the Baruch Shem is waiting for each and every one of us to do tshuva. Nasa Adam, Nema Bavarach. Haroitza b'tshuva. Haroitza b'tshuva. To be like a flag means to be able to feel, to be able to know that in your eyes, Hashem, I'm worthy. The biggest issue the Jew can have is what? B'shem Elokeinu Nidgol. Is that in your name, Hashem, that I'm a degel, that I'm a flag, that I have a place in your world, in your eyes. Yimali Hashem kol mishal v'sach. Yimali Hashem kol mishal v'sach. That's all that we ask for. What do you think a person stops learning? Because he doesn't enjoy the learning? I don't believe that a Jew cannot enjoy learning. I don't believe it. It's not that he doesn't enjoy the learning. It's just he doesn't think that it counts. He doesn't think it has any erich. He doesn't think that there's any flag that's put up anywhere when he says the Mishnah, he says the Gemara. So he doesn't feel that he could do it. He feels it has no value. He feels that when he does other things, maybe it's of some value or some worth to somebody somewhere. He could be of help to someone. Erki Alai. He doesn't see that. Ishal Machaneyu, Ishal Diglai. In this parasha that leads to Maimon HaSinai, which leads to the Yichus of Am Yisrael, that we take out the Sifri HaYuchsim, and the Yichus that each Jew has, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yachas that a Jew has with Hashem, is a Yachas of Ishal Machaneyu, Ishal Diglai. Soisim, Beis Havoisim, who we are and where we come from. Let me tell you a story. Some of you might have heard this story. There are different gears, like with many of the stories. And I'll share with you the one that I heard. It's a strange story. There were a group of Chassidim of the Chayza who lived in a village in Poland far away from Lublin. And the highlight of the year was to go Elul, to spend the Yom Tov and Tishrei, to spend with the Chayza. They were very, very, very poor people. And no matter how hard they worked and they tried to save a few kopecks, I mean, they needed their money to live, their families. So because they couldn't put together enough what they needed to be able to get all the way to the big city to get to Lublin. So every year it was some kind of a nace how they somehow were able to put together, walked and they schlepped and they went hitching rides, this chevra of Chassidim. And one year, the Chassidim amongst themselves had what's called in Yiddish an Einfall. An Einfall is like when a light bulb goes up over your head. An idea, but like a real good idea. What's the idea? What's the Einfall? The Einfall is that one of the Chevra, these are all simple Chassidim, very, very simple. Very simple. They're not Balei Kaima, simple Jews. But Erlich Yid, well, not 100% Erlich, you'll hear in a second. They came up with this Einfall. One of the Chevra had a beautiful, beautiful Tzuras Panim. He was tall, he had a long white beard and long white peis. He looked like a Choshev Yid. He was really just a very simple, like a peasant. But he had such a Tzuras Panim. So the Chassidim had this idea that we're going to walk along the countryside, and there were the least educated Jews in these little villages where they barely had a minyan in these places. You know this, Maisa? We're going to go to these villages, and we're going to go like an hour before, we'll leave him behind with another one of the guys, and we'll say that's a big rabbi. We'll make up a name, whatever, the rabbi from so-and-so. They can call it a Thiddish staple or something. Don't think that hasn't happened to Maisa many, many times. It's a funny thing, like now, because you see all these, if you look in the newspaper, you see these names of rabbis, that there hasn't been a chassidus for the last 200 years. No, who is he? Where is he? Where are the chassidim? Looks like a nice rabbi, he's got a big cap like this. And they show like he's making some yard site dish, and there are four people, and they're all his sons-in-law. So such things have happened. It's not so early. But they made up with this guy. The guy didn't want to do it. You know, he's a real nice guy. But they said, listen, we're going to the Rebbe. It's a big mitzvah, no? It's a mitzvah. And we're going to go daven to be by the Rebbe is the biggest thing. So we can't afford to get this. So we're going to, you stay behind with one of the other guys. He's going to act like your Gabba. And they got him some beautiful coat and the white socks, the whole getup. And he looks great. And And they arrange that the other guy's going to come to a village first, and they're going to say that there's a big tzaddik, a big Baal Moifes, the Rebbe, so-and-so from so-and-so is coming. These are simple Jews. And they hear that there's a Gitte Yid that's coming. You know, the Rebbe used to be called Gitte Yidin, that there's a Gitte Yid that's coming. So sure enough, he comes and they make a whole tumult, and the whole village comes out in their Shabbos clothing, and this poor guy, he feels horrible, bams, because he's fooling these nice Jews. And they make a Kabbalah's call, you understand, a Kabbalah's ponim, a Kabbalah's call, and Jews are coming with their money, and they come to him for brachas, and he's starting to get into it a little bit. That also has happened a lot in history. He's starting to get into a little bit, and Jews come to him for brachas, and they're putting down the money, ding, ding, and the guys can't get over it. The guys just can't get over it. This was a real great idea. They're going to be able to stop off like at every restaurant on the way. This is great. This one comes to bracha. Anybody learned all the tenuas, you know. He knows how to do all the things, and the people come to how to get this and that. And he says angid and that thing, that this. Chassidus for kinder, you know, the whole thing. He knows all the lashonos he's saying. Okay. Anyway, they had daiva hoyse. They got plenty of money. And they're getting set. They're going off to Lublin. This is it. Just before they were going to leave, a father and a mother come in with a beautiful little boy. The father's carrying the little boy. And the father says, Rebbe, our child has been sick. He has a big fever. The doctors say that he can't live. Now this, he wasn't prepared for, you understand. Regular brachas, you know, people come. But this inyan, he wasn't prepared for. And so he looks to the gabbai, who's his friend. Like, this is enough, I, the game is over. This is serious stuff. And the guy just gives him a look. Just, you better say whatever you need to say. Don't mess this up. So listen what he did. He said to the parents, can I carry the child? Can I take the child? I want to be alone with him. And the parents said, Rebbe, of course. And he told the guy, his friend also, don't come in. The friend said, oh, this is really good. And he goes into the room. He comes back here for a few minutes, a little while, and he gives the child back, and he says, And then they all go off to Lublin. They're there the whole El Tishrei. But you understand, they already got a taste, and they see that in this town they made a lot of money, so they want to go and stop off on the way back to be able to get the money that they need to get to the last leg of the trip. But the fellow, the phony rabbi, you know, he doesn't want to go. He says, and they said, no, you go back, and we need to make more money, and it worked. And the people, they already know that you're a rabbi. Mean that they look at you like you're out. So this way we're not going to have to go to all the other villages. We'll just go back to our place. And the Olam, they like you very much. And we'll go back to the village and we'll make enough that we can get back home. And we could even have for the family. You know, they already got into the union. And he said, I can't go back. I can't go back. I can't face the... He says, that child, I can't go back. So they said, they put such pressure on him, they made him so crazy. And they were very upset, and they were dragging him, and he went there, and they came with a wagon. Kray Kedushas Ad Mishlita, you know, was coming and whatever. And the first one to come out to greet them, the Rebbe, was the father of that child. What do you mean, do now? And when he saw the father, he put his head down. And the father runs over and starts to kiss his feet and starts to hold his Rebbe. You should know that right after you gave the bracha, he went home and his fever broke. And he called and his wife came with the child. And everybody was crying. And the wife and the kid's 100%. And the Rebbe, the guy, he starts to cry. And everybody was made l'chaim, shalavichasim v'shanim. It's a whole big thing. And afterwards, the guys asked him, like, what's going on? You're not a rabbi, are you? They're getting a little nervous. What happened over? Because the kid was going to die any minute. So what happened? What's going on? So he said, when we were coming, and the child was almost dead, and the father gave it to me, and I went to the other room with him. I just put him on the bed, and I start to cry, and I said, Rebbein Shalom, master of all worlds, you know who I am, and I know who I am. You know that I'm worthless, I have no value. And I know that I'm worthless, that I have no value. But why should these good Jews suffer? They think that I'm a rabbi. They think that I have value. They think that I'm somebody. So why should they suffer? That's all I said. And I cried. It's a murder gemaisa. It seems, however, it seems that the Baruch Shalom thinks that we have value. And even though we look at ourselves sometimes and we feel like we're impersonating tzaddikim, we feel like we're just imitating good Jews. But what's the erech? What's the value? What's the worth? Ish al machaneyu, ish al diglay. Niranano bishuasechu v'shem elokeinu nidgal. Lefi the erech of the times they were living in and what this world is going through, it seems that the Baruch Shalom has left us in this last generation, and he's left the entire Inyan of Geula in our hands, and that you and I have the ability, with our tefillahs, with our tefillin, with our Shabbos, with our efforts, Shmiras HaNeinayim, Shmiras HaPeh, that we have the ability to be poel, the biggest things that ever have happened and will happen since the creation of the world has been left to our generation. Our problem is that we don't know that, we don't believe that. So the last chizik, as a tzibur, that I want to share with you is this nakuda. During the summer, during the time that's coming, it's very, very hard. Every single tenua, every time you try to keep your mind on the right thing, every single time you try to turn a little bit, to turn away, every single time you try to look in the sefer, every single time you try to show a little bit more respect to the parents, a little to be mesameach your parents, they don't see you so much the whole year, to be mechabed them, to be mesameach them, to go to a grandparent, to be mechazik a grandparent, to spend some time, to go and to sit down for a barbecue with your family and to flip over a couple of hamburgers and to be mesameach your relatives and so on. Every single thing you have to hear. Na'asa odom nema bavaracha. Don't be Rabbi Shimon after 12 years. Rabbi Shimon after 13 years. Kama chaviv and mitzvah sayisra. Lay kama chaviv and mitzvah sayisra. Harul v'srachish nisa. Our whole generation is a nice. My father once said this to me. My father said that we had miracles, that we survived, that Mami and I survived. Harul v'srachish nisa. Izzat v'iskan milsa. So I decided I'm going to try to fix what I could fix and to raise a family that's shown the terrorists. That's where we're holding now. I want to thank all of you, because for me it was a year of tremendous, tremendous chizuk. I never met such a chevra in my life of Mevakshei Hashem, Yemes, that in our time, in our door, that we could have such a bikush for the truth. And for me, if you ask my wife, every time I come home, she says, I'm so in the spoil. I always say that to my wife, that you wouldn't believe, I tell her some of the conversations, not any names, I tell her some of the conversations, some of the ishtoikikasin, the longings of the chevron. Talk about the things that we discuss and the avoida. You have to remember, please, please, you have to try to remember that Erech Yalai, the Erech, the value of a Jew in our generation, is the highest it's ever been. On the outside, we look like it's the lowest, but on the inside, in Hashem's eyes, it's the highest, highest, highest value ever. The Rebbeinu Shlom should watch over each and every one of you. It should be a shmir ma'al yisa, that each and every one of you should be watched, to do your best to watch yourselves, and the Rebbeinu Shlom will watch you, and that we should be zayichim mitzvah Hashem, not just next Lag BaOmer to be together in Meiron, but we should be zayichim mitzvah Hashem, that Tisha B'Av shouldn't be Tisha B'Av, and Tu B'Av will be Tu B'Av. Yerushalayim L'Gula Hashem V'Amitish, Mehev Yemein Amen.
Amen.